being before us. Are there any corrections, additions, or changes to the minutes? Seeing none, Representative Beard moves approval of the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. We have one item of business tonight. That is House File 3. Representative Dorman moves that House File 3 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Happy to be here this evening and appreciate members staying with us so late. But this bill is very important, and I'm going to try to get it to the floor early next week and pass it. They got a lot of confidence in the bill, so they didn't feel they had to show up. They thought you could handle it, Representative Tamar. I'll take the go through the bill briefly, and then I know, Mr. Chair, you and others, including myself, have a couple of amendments, and then be happy to stand for any questions. Article 1 of the bill talks about just the total size of the bill. Article 2 is the University of Minnesota project. I know some members have spoken to me about why is the number not same as governors. We don't have inflation calculated into those projects, nor do we the Minsky projects, but the list of projects is the same as on the governor's list. They are, as you can see, part of the summary. The next part is the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, or MINSCU. Here we're significantly higher than the governor, but less than the Senate, and we have added several projects that I think are very important to our state of Minnesota for providing a future for job growth, and so I think they're worthy. Skip over the next couple and go to education, which, if you're following along in your summary, it's on page 4. Probably the biggest difference here is the fact that we did not and do not fund the Red Lake School. I just have not been convinced that we ought to do that project at this time. There is a change in the library capital improvement grants that are there. We have recommended funding this program at $2 million and changing it slightly. And I know there will be an amendment in this area later that I believe Representative Sikora and the chair and myself support, which clarifies how this money is spent. Right now, the program is for access ADA improvements. This would open it up a little bit wider, but after the amendment, it will read that the ADA improvements come first. That's kind of the education portion of the bill. Next, we'll hop down to the natural resource part. Subdivision 2 calls for the flood mitigation grants. $21 million are allocated there. $2 million for the flood in the Austin area that occurred this summer. There's also money there for ROSO, in the ROSO fund, and some language necessary for that. And also some language for a project that's going to go forward up on the Iron Range where we have a community that will be flooded if something isn't done. Subdivision 3 is dam removal. Subdivision 4 is RIM critical habitat match. This is where the state will provide dollars to match private dollars in setting aside important areas of our wildlife and fishing habitat. Subdivision 5 is the wildlife area acquisition. This is a $12 million bonding appropriation to acquire WMAs or hunting areas, fishing areas, or areas to enjoy wildlife and nature. Subdivision 6, fisheries acquisition and improvement, making sure that we're able to restock our lakes, goes to the DNR to grow fingerlings and things of that nature, stream protection, reforestation, metro greenways. All pretty straightforward. Subdivision 13, you'll see a listing of the trails that we have identified. It's an $8.5 million appropriation, and then there are some earmarkings there. Number 15 is the RIM Wildlife Area Development. This is $600,000. You know, I guess in a big budget, it doesn't seem like a lot of money, but I think very important to the entire state for making sure we can improve the areas that we have acquired. Dropping down the list a little bit more of interest to folks in the state, of course, but particularly northeastern Minnesota, there's some money for the Duluth Zoo. and with a nod to Representative Kahn, Subdivision 24 has local initiative grants, which can include replacing urban forests. I'm not sure how many urban forests we have, but maybe I haven't been around enough. But I got that they're not earmarked for urban forests, but could include it. Then we also have something for non-metro regional parks, a $4.85 million appropriation. PCA has a funding there. Pollution Control Agency has a appropriation of $14 million. This will go into the closed landfill program. OEA, our Office of Environmental Assistance, we have a total of $4 million appropriated there, half of which will go to the Red Wing and half of it to go to Olmsted County. The RIM program, or conservation easements, conservation reserve and enhancement, you see a $23 million appropriation, slightly different from last year's bill, where it was a $20 million bond and $3 million general fund item. We have them both there. Next item down is the agriculture appropriations. You'll see the Agriculture Water Management Research Partnership and a joint pathology lab, or as it was labeled, I think, in committee, the plant jail. So that is there. What's not there are the RFA. Oh, do you need more volume?
Yes, sir.
I was hoping, Mr. Chair, that I could just sneak through there with nobody hearing. I thought maybe that would involve less questions. But you
our ears perked up when we heard the plant jail.
Plant jail. It's important that we contain these plants. Former Representative Jerry Schoenfeld has talked to me about containing level 3 soybeans, and I thought it was a dangerous situation. The noticeable absence there are the RFA bonds. The RFA bonds are not carried in this bill, nor are they in the Senate bonding bill. Minnesota Zoo, at this point, it talks about a total appropriation of $15 million, but that will be involved a little bit later in the amendment that I plan to bring before the committee. $3 million to repair the exterior of the DOT building next door. Here we have a little bit of a difference from the Senate in that we are recommending using general obligation bonds and not trunk highway bonds. Senate bill actually doesn't have it in because they don't have the trunk highway bonds in the bill at all. We have a marker here using general funds. We've got the Capital Area Architectural Planning Board talking about doing some repairs to our beautiful capital. Military Affairs, you'll see what's outlined there, including the World War II, under Veterans Affairs, the World War II Veterans Memorial on the Capitol Mall. This says here this is the final appropriation, and is contingent on the deposit of non-state funds in an account for perpetual maintenance. Under the area of transportation, the local bridge replacement and rehabilitation fund, I think it's kind of one of the marquees, I think, of this bill, highlighting again our commitment in the House to the infrastructure of the state of Minnesota, helping getting people moving and our goods to market. Here we are higher than both the governor and the Senate, and we have earmarked $50 million for this important program. The next item down is the local road improvement program, which includes a rural road safety account and some money for the trunk highway corridor project. I think, again, goes kind of hand-in-hand with our commitment to infrastructure in this bill. Subdivision 5, the North Star Commuter Rail, we have a $10 million appropriation here. I know this one I've answered a lot of questions about why $10 million, why not something else. And what I say is if we prevail on this at the end of the day and hold $10 million in place for the House, we will actually be $10 million more than we've ever done. So this will be, a big commitment from the House saying that we, too, are interested in this very important project. Rail service improvements, we have $3 million there. I should note that there are some carve-outs that are listed there, but after working with the chairwoman of Transportation Finance and others interested in this account and making sure that we did not have carve-outs, you'll see an amendment coming up on those later. Central Avenue Bus Rapid Transit, or BRT, we have an appropriation matching the governor's number at $10 million. This is for engineering studies and lane improvements and station construction for a bus rapid transit service on Cedar Avenue between the Mall of America and Lakeville. For our friends specifically in St. Paul, but I think, again, of very statewide significance, we have $1 million for the Central Corridor Transitway. depending on how you feel about Hiawatha, and we've already got it there. I actually thought we should have built this first, but you know, we'll come back and look at it. Important to note, it's a transit way. It doesn't specify bus, nor does it specify train, and that is still open and out. Next, we have the Metropolitan Regional Parks Program. A few earmarks there. Mm-hmm. The Grand Rounds. I thought it was the restaurant appropriation that Representative Kahn wanted, but it's the Grand Rounds National Scenic Byway. St. Paul, we have the Como pre-design and design of the Como Park Zoo renovation and $3 million for Raspberry Island in St. Paul and $500,000 for South St. Paul for closure and capping and remediation of about 80 acres at Fort Crosby. Section number 19, we are now into the human services part of the bill. That is, we have a couple things there. First, the St. Peter Regional Treatment Center, the sex offender facility there. We have $3.259 million for design of a new facility with up to 150 beds for the sexual offenders program. Subdivision 3, I wish it had a better name, but it's the forensic nursing facility, $12.6 million for facility. We have spelled out where it will go. It will go to Agua Ching in the Walker area. Representative Howes and others actually came out and said we have a facility that would be perfect for this. We want the jobs. We think it's important. And they actually reached out and others wanted to make sure that it wasn't in their neighborhood. So for those of you who didn't want it, you should be happy, and Representative Howes will appreciate it because they wanted it. So seems to me to be a win-win. On the next page, you'll see the Veterans Home Board. You got your asset preservation, a new dementia wandering unit in the Laverne facility, and some money for pre-design for a Wilmer Veterans facility, hoping to better utilize that facility there. 21, the area of corrections, the Minnesota Correctional Facility at Faribault, you have an $84.844 million facility. This is one where we took the governor's number, including inflation, because we thought it was so important to make sure that this project does get done on time. This would, a little bit different than the Senate approach. The Senate approach would have allowed kind of a phased-in construction where they would have built two of the new units and then come back for more money for the third one. We thought it was more prudent to build it all in time. Doing a two-in-one presented some problems for the folks there at the correctional facility, so I thought that was the way to go. Subdivision 3, the Minnesota Correctional Facility appropriation for the penitentiary at Stillwater. There we have $10 million for a new segregation unit. They want to take down the old reformatory and move their segregation unit there to provide safety not only to the inmates but staff. This is only half the request of the governor, but I've taken a look at the project, and we can come back next year and do the other half without changing the opening date of the facility, so I think that is a very prudent and balanced approach to that.
It's on the same line.
The new item, for those of you who are not on capital investment, number 6, the St. Croix Boys and Girls Camp, recently came to the committee, kind of a late entry into the field. We want to take a look at purchasing the St. Croix Boys and Girls Camp. State has the right of first refusal, so we're going to take a look at that. That one, I think we need more information, Mr. Chair, before the floor or in conference, but we needed to make sure it was alive somewhere. Item point 2, employment and economic development. The subdivision 2 calls for the state match for the federal grants for the public facilities authority in the area of clean water and for water pollution control. Subdivision 3 is the Minnesota redevelopment account. Now this is a little bit of a change from where we've been. Historically, we had a redevelopment account, then we went to a Greater Minnesota redevelopment account. We went to a Greater Minnesota redevelopment account. Greater Minnesota got 100% of it. Unfortunately, there was no appropriation, so we got 100%. Actually, probably vetoed. I think we got 100% of nothing. Now we're going to get 50% of something, which is good. And so $20 million of that is earmarked for the total program, $10 million inside the metropolitan area and $10 million outside. Half of it, we wanted to make sure there's one particular project that is, I think, really important, and I know the Minneapolis delegation feels strongly, as does Representative Gunther, who's spoken to me several times, and Representative Clark. It's the Sears development structure. I think that's a great program. Subdivision 4 is the WIF funding, or wastewater infrastructure. $29 million will be going out there, including some earmarking some projects that hadn't risen to the top of the list yet, but are, I think, deserving of such consideration. For example, the Zulu Sanitary Facility, the Aurora situation, Bayport, Burnsville, and New Brighton. Important to get those done. There's also $5 million for corrective actions on systems built since 2001. These are systems that communities that are listed there went out and they said, you know what, we're going to try this new sand filtration system that was federal government thought was a good idea. They did it. They don't work in Minnesota, and federal government hasn't stepped up to help them out, and Representative Gunther, and I feel very strongly that we should. It wasn't the city's fault. And so that is in that area. Subdivision 5 is the bioscience development, a $20 million appropriation, equally divided among St. Paul, Minneapolis, Rochester, and rural Minnesota. Subdivision 6 is another Austin flood relief program, this one from Deed. Number 7 is the $20 million for the genomics facility that will be located in Rochester and operated in conjunction with the Mayo Clinic and the University of Minnesota. Subdivision 8 is a new program, total maximum daily load grants, the program that will help us as we move into new impaired water standards. I think Representative Osmond is going to have some comments that are important on that coming up. Number 23, the Housing Finance Agency. Last year was not in the House bill. This year we have a $10 million appropriation for permanent supportive housing loans. Minnesota Historical Society. We have, as you can see, a significant dollar for asset preservation and local preservation grants. And below that, number 25, grants to political subdivisions. By and large, I would say that our bill is real heavy on infrastructure, roads, bridges, and such and so forth. Not a lot of real items that, you know, I guess pork is always somebody else's project and yours is of statewide significance. I won't categorize these either way. I think they're all good projects and deserving to be in what I think, a little prejudiced, a very well-balanced bill. But they are listed out there, including money for the Lowry Corridor, Planetarium, the Phelan Corridor, Public Training Center in Rochester. Got some money for Roseau, $13.22 million for the flood up there. We have some more rural infrastructure, only $5 million. I know some members were unhappy with that being so low, but only so much money to go around. I think it is, a well-balanced bill. I think it's a great project that's going to take place in Lake Minnetonka, that is Big Island. The city of Warno brought to Representative Sikora a project. We had an island that the Veterans Group owned. They were going to sell it on the open market. The city of Warno said,
that's the one you started with Sikora.
Why don't we come in and acquire this if the state would help us out? They're still going to own it and operate it, so we don't have the maintenance costs. We're going to make sure it's accessible to more people. So I think that's a really good project for all of us. Let's see, bond sale expense. With that, Mr. Chair, we have kind of went through the highlights of what's in the bill. There's a couple other things in language that I know you have some amendments for and we're going to talk about, but at that point, Mr. Chair, I think I'll just stop and see if you want to take questions now or go through some amendments or how you wish to proceed.
Well, thank you, Representative Dorman. Representative Dorman, I think let's go through the amendments. We've got quite a number of amendments. Some of them are fairly technical and non-controversial. I think we can get rid of them and get them passed without objection pretty quickly. And the first one I'd turn to is the A-28 amendment, which is actually an amendment of Representative Dorman's. I believe it's a technical amendment. Members, the amendment should be in your packets in numerical order. So if you would go through and find the A-28 amendment, Representative Dorman moves the A-28 amendment. Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you correctly identified, this is strictly technical in nature. Part of it, again, is deals with the plant jail. I thought we had it right at the left committee. Turns out we need to tweak the language a little bit. Then there's just insertions of commas where they need to be and real small things like that. Nothing real substantive, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any discussion to the 828 amendment? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the 828 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Next, we have the A-26 amendment, which is also an amendment of Representative Dorman's. Representative Dorman moves the A-26 amendment dealing with the University of Minnesota in Duluth.
Mr. Chair, I don't have that exact language in front of me, so I can't read it to you, but you should have it. This language is brought to us by Representative Murphy. It is more instructional, suggesting that the University of Minnesota Duluth make people aware of what may be happening there in the area. Parking doesn't cost us anything. Should not be controversial whatsoever, Mr. Chair. I'd ask for member support.
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, this is aimed at a very small piece of land that has about 8 homes on it, primarily surrounded by woods, and it's across the street from the campus. Part of the surrounding land is already owned by the campus. This just encourages the university to let these people know, and most of them will be willing sellers, I must say, so it's... just to let them know the university is going to be interested in this property.
All right. Parking. Thank you. Any other discussion to the A26 amendment? Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A26 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion prevails. The A26 amendment is adopted. Next, members will go to the A21 amendment, and the chair will move the A21 amendment. Members, let me tell you about the A21 amendment. The A21 amendment, members, relates to the grounds on Fort Snelling, particularly the old officers' row. And I don't know if anyone has been over there in recent years, but I have, and the condition of the buildings is absolutely atrocious. There must be 30 to 35 buildings. Many of them are completely falling down. Some of them are boarded up, and I hear are serviceable, and some of them don't look too bad. But they have been sitting there for years with no apparent plan for what to do with them. And this amendment directs the Department of Natural Resources, which has custody of these buildings, to work with local units of government and the state and federal government to come up with a plan on what they're going to do. I think, members, that it's time for them to have some sort of plan as to what's going to happen to these buildings rather than just letting them fall down. Well, that, members, I've moved the A21 amendment. Any discussion? Representative Solberg.
This does not include the other part that's, I want to say north of the Fort Snelling where there's that one building that they're talking about developing into a hotel complex.
No, that would not be part of this, and I don't believe that's in the custody of the Department of Natural Resources.
That's my understanding.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and correct, there's a couple of different sections of Fort Snelling. I actually think a nudge in this direction is fine. It's in my district.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Osman.
Chair, I'd just like you to be aware that I will have to check this out, but I think this land may be underneath federal control, but we'll have to check that out.
Representative Osman, I know the federal government has some jurisdiction over it as well, and that's why I did put the language in there in terms of them working with the federal government, too. All right, seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A21 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A21 amendment is adopted. Next, members, let's pick up the A24 amendment. And the chair will move the A24 amendment. This was an amendment brought to me by Representative Westrum, and it deals with the provision in the bill with the University of Minnesota Morris, and basically is just language asking that the Morris School District and the Board of Regents have an operating agreement governing the stadium and the buildings that are being built here. Representative Gorman?
Mr. Chair, members, this should be not controversial, and just clarifying some language, I would support it.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the A24 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The A24 amendment is adopted. Okay, members, next I'll take the A38 amendment. Sorry to be skipping around, but that's kind of the way they all came in order. The chair will move the A38 amendment. And members, I see this as being really just a technical amendment. Inserts the word and in one place that it's supposed to be, and makes it clear that we're talking about greater Minnesota instead of our rural Minnesota, which is a term that I'm not sure is defined in statute and is somewhat unclear. Any discussion to the A38 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I think it's a good amendment. I have no objection. I would encourage members to support it.
All right. See no discussion. All in favor of the A38 amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The A38 amendment is adopted. Next, we'll take up the A16 amendment. Representative Osment moves the A16 amendment. Representative Osment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a provision that was inserted saying that the administration costs of the CREP program would have to come out of the board's administrative funding, and this we know that there was $3 million that's been added to this proposal to cover administration, so this makes it clear.
Discussion of the A16 amendment, Representative Dorman.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is what actually makes the bill conform to the bill description I gave earlier, and so this is a good amendment. I appreciate Representative Osment bringing it forward. I would suggest we adopt it.
No further discussion. All in favor of the A16 amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The A16 amendment is adopted. Next, we have the A33 amendment. Representative Dempsey moves the A33 amendment. Representative Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is merely a change in the wording so that the money, which is only $175,000, is able to be built and using, that the redesign and design will be covered under present present law. So we cannot bond things that are not for and related to buildings and that kind of thing. And that's why this particular amendment is here.
Any discussion of the A33 amendment?
Mr. Chair, it really clarifies what we want to do there in that area, and it's a good amendment that I would encourage members to support it.
See no further discussion. All in favor of the A33 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Next, we'll take up the A25 amendment. Representative Sikora moves the A25 amendment. Representative Sikora.
What this is, Mr. Chair and members, there's been a maximum effort capital loan in the city of Askov for a school there. It, of course, it is not paid off, as is the case with most of our maximum effort capital loans. The building is no longer in use. It is for sale, and they have a buyer. The $215,000 that the buyer will pay will come back to the state, and then the rest of the maximum effort loan will be forgiven. It's a wise thing to do. It actually, this is the only thing in the bill that brings money in, is it not, Mr. Chairman?
Well, there's one other one, too, Representative Sikora. Any other discussion to the A25 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I think it's a wonderful addition to the bill, and I would encourage members to support it.
All right. Anything that brings in money, Representative Solberg.
Is it 200-some thousand?
I believe it's 215,000.
Thank you.
All in favor of the A25 amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The A25 amendment is adopted. Next, I'll take up the A39 amendment. Representative Kelleher moves the A39 amendment. I think it's Representative Kelleher's amendment. Representative Kelleher to the A39 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I believe this amendment came to us by way of Representative Mahoney, and I believe... Do we need an oral amendment?
Yes, I think Representative Kelleher, you had talked with me about on page 1, line 4 and 5, deleting the 6 months and inserting 1 year. Would you like to incorporate that into your amendment?
Although, Mr. Chair, I think we're deleting that.
Yeah, deleting 6 months and inserting 1 year.
Yes, I'll move that amendment.
Okay. Representative Kelleher moves the A39 amendment with the incorporation changing the 6 months to 1 year. Discussion.
You see it. I don't need it. Mr. Chair.
Representative Garner.
Mr. Chair, I visited with Representative Kelleher, Representative Mahoney, and Representative Gunther, and it's a good amendment. I think helps the bill, and I would encourage members to vote yes.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, very technical, but on line 13, the word regent, I believe, should be singular, not plural.
Yes.
What line is that?
No.
Oh, regent. All right. We'll incorporate that into the amendment. The other discussion. All right. Representative Silverberg.
Is it going to be allocated to more than one region?
I guess it potentially could be. Is that
any city or region?
Well,
singular is fine. That's fine. Sure. Yeah. That's fine. Because it's one up above, it's fine too.
Representative Kelleher.
I believe the line 13 amendment actually keeps it in line with the earlier language in the amendment.
Yeah,
so let's keep it at that right now.
All right. So I'm sorry, Representative Keller, you want regions or region?
Region.
Region singular. All right, we'll keep it region singular. Other discussion to the A39 amendment? All in favor of the A39 amendment with the incorporations noted, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A39 amendment is adopted. Okay, next I'll go to Representative Gunther and the A31 amendment.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Gunther.
Mr. Chairman, I have an oral amendment on line 3. Delete 18 and insert 19. Delete $154,762,000 and insert $49,000,000. And in line 4, delete $152,202,000 and insert $46,500,000.
Representative Gunther, I'm wondering if it should be $46,440,000 to keep it balanced.
Very well, Mr. Gunther. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's correct.
Okay. All right. Representative Gunther moves the A31 amendment and incorporates the language that he orally gave us. Is there discussion to the A31 amendment? Representative Gunther? Representative Dorn, I'm sorry.
Thank
you. See you, Representative
Chair.
Dorn.
Mr. Chair and members, this provision would put the design money in place for the Minsku proposal in terms of the Trapped and Science Center at Minnesota State. It was in last year's bill, did pass. When Representative Krenke was the chair of Capital Investments, it was recommended again by the higher ed folks. It does remove dollars from the HEPR account, but I'm comfortable with that since the project itself, I think, is estimated to deal with about $14 million of PEPA-related costs that will be taken care of with the new proposal. And it was a high priority among the design projects that Minsku had proposed as part of their request. So, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other discussion? Representative Gorman.
Mr. Chair, I think this is a very good amendment. I would encourage members to support it.
All in favor of the A31 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Next, we'll go to Representative Solberg and the A32 amendment. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, this is an amendment that
for the Chairman, Gorman, kind of talked about that there'd be to take the reallocation that was in the bill from the Railroad Authority and into a different parts of the bill, and it also adds a couple of other reallocations. I want to thank both Representative Holbert, Chair, and Representative Gunther, the Chair, for working with us and on this. It's some projects that are important for the economic development in rural Minnesota, One of them is in the Canis, related to the Canis, the railroad at the Canis deal. One of them is, I think, in Representative Seifert's district. One of them, Representative, I think, Soderstrom's district, and Representative Lapp's district. So it's a compromise, and appreciate the work that's been done on this.
Okay, other discussion to the A32 Amendment. Representative Holberg.
Mr. Chair and members, I support this. This helps us stay with the standard that the Transportation Finance Committee supported, and that we don't do project-specific funding out of general transportation funding pools.
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chair, a question. I'm not sure who to direct it to, but the Railroad Revitalization Program that we've had and used bonding money for is like sort of a pay it back after you develop the track, redevelop the track, revolving loan type of thing. Is that what we're dealing with here? Will this be available again in the future to use?
Representative Holberg.
Maybe Representative Holberg would like to answer that.
Representative
Holberg.
And Representative Beard, this amendment does not change the amount of money that goes to the Revolving Loan Rail Improvement Fund, but rather it takes these projects and moves them out of that fund into an economic development fund that is in Representative or Chair Gunther's issue area.
So I'm sorry, Representative Holberg, so it's your understanding that these are these dollars will still need to be handled and repaid in the same way as if they had been part of the Railroad Service Improvement Account?
Mr. Chair, and no, my understanding is that, well, first for my purposes, I wanted the earmarking out of that particular fund of money. And so Chair Gunther would have to speak to the parameters of the funding source that is now being used for these projects.
Representative Gunther.
Mr. Chair, this money will come out of the Greater Minnesota Redevelopment Account, and it's for the purpose of economic development in Greater Minnesota, and it's taking care of a needed correction or fixing up of needed railroad lines, which is certainly qualifies under that account.
So, Representative Gunther, these are grants.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Other discussion to the A32 amendment? See no further discussion. All in favor of the A32 amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No. Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Next, members, we have the A22 amendment, and the chair will move the A22 amendment. Members, this actually has three different parts to it that I've worked on with Representative Keller, her, Sikora, and others. The first takes some money that was in the, I believe, the 2000 bonding bill that was designated for one area of Minneapolis redevelopment and moves it to a different area of Minneapolis redevelopment, the Heritage Park. The second references the clarifying language that Representative Dorman discussed in his opening statement in regard to library grants. And the third clarifies the Fuji-Ya language that's in the bill, and basically with this language will ensure that the amount of total of bonding and spending in the bill is equal to the amount of the governor's bill. Members, I'd stand for any questions on the A22 amendment. Representative Kelleher?
Mr. Chair, I just want to be clear that the Department of Economic Development gave their okay on the moving of the 2000 bond appropriation, as well as the administration, as well as Senator Cohen had done that, and at this language would give your agreement to that as well. And in the language, there were two particular areas of redevelopment specified, what was called the semi-site, which is now University Research Park, and Heritage Park, were each specified, sharing an appropriation. The semi-site cannot use the money because of a land acquisition issue, and that's the reason for asking for the shift. So they both were specified in the original language, and we believe within the intent, and we appreciate the chair's support on that. And Representative Sikora, the Fuji-Ya language brings in a little money, too, to the bill.
All that's good.
All right. Or Representative Diskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I guess I just want to express a deep concern I have in the change of the Library Accessibilities Grants Program. This has always been a program which is meant to have helped renovate libraries so that they become accessible to our citizens who have disabilities, particularly physical disabilities. We are now changing this program to be a library construction program. And we just really need to be careful where we go here, or the state may end up owning a whole heck of a lot more buildings sometime down the road. And maybe that's where we want to go, maybe not. But it's a major policy shift that I think should take a lot more discussion than it's had.
Well, Representative Diskins, actually, that language, making that shift that you are talking about, is in the bill as it is now. And this language, I think, moves it a little bit closer to where you want to be, in that it basically says that handicapped accessibility is the first priority for these grants, and then after that would be the renovation-type projects.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I agree it is in the bill, but it's not in current law yet.
All right. Well, all these things I'm sure will be sorted out in conference committee. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the 822 amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The 822 amendment is adopted. Next, members, I'll take up the A37 amendment. Representative Trinke moves the A37 amendment. At least I think that's your amendment, Representative Trinke. Yes, Representative Trinke to the A37 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, the A37 amendment merely restores some language that in the bill is stricken. The language that would be restored is on page 32. It allows the commissioner of DTED really to, or deed, I'm sorry, we changed that, the commissioner of deed to actually allocate money to projects that would require some greater amount of local leverage, either from tax contributions or tax increment financing. Talked with Chairman Dorman about this. Talked with Chairman Gunther about this. I don't believe they have any problem with deleting the stricken, or restoring the stricken language, I believe.
All right. Discussion to the A37 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dorman.
Mr. Chair, the A37 amendment, either I have the...
The A37 amendment has the effect of eliminating the stricken language, or restoring the stricken language, rather.
Restores the stricken language.
Yes. Okay. Seeing no further discussion on the A37 amendment, all in favor of the Trinke motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A37 amendment is adopted. Next, members, will go to Representative Abler and the A19 amendment. Representative Abler moves the A19 amendment. Representative Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is about a certain project in the Northwest that was supposed to go a little further than ever than it's going now. And if it ever gets to go further than it's scheduled to go now, then the people who are going to benefit by that can chip in as they would have had it gone as originally planned. So I urge our support.
Discussion to the A19 amendment. Representative Frankie.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, Representative Abler. Shall contribute amount to extension equal. What about the proportional dollars for planning and all of the rest of the project? They don't have to proportionally share in those costs?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Well, it's my intention that they would share in their share had they had it gone there from the beginning. They had agreed early on to, it was supposed to go to Rice at one point, and all those counties were on board to pay their share. And this is merely to, if it should go beyond Big Lake, that they would be reinstated with paying the upfront costs as well as the additional costs. The counties who are involved and would be served through the Big Lake would also have a larger share that they have to pick up of their of the extension. But I believe that that's my intention, is that they would pay their entire share from the beginning. That would have been accrued, would have been due. I hope that's said that clearly. That was my intent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the A-19 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A-19 amendment is adopted. Next, members, will take up Representative Hamilton, the A-23 amendment.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative
Chairman.
Hamilton moves the A-23 amendment.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Hamilton. Yes.
This is an amendment where it states the final design must include an examination of the feasibility of using biodiesel fuel in the commuter rail locomotives. This will cost no money from the bonding, and I don't know of any opposition, so I ask for your support.
Discussion to the A-23 amendment. Representative Krinke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hamilton, examination of feasibility of using, is this one quart per 100 gallons, or are we, how much biodiesel are we going to put in these engines?
Representative Hamilton.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Krinke, I mean, the goal would be towards 5%. We want to look towards the feasibility of this, and that's why we're asking for this, looking into the feasibility of it all. I did work with members of the NCDA, and those members were also on board with this. So once again, I encourage your support.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Krinke.
I would move to amendment to add using 5% so that we have a clear indication of what we're talking about.
Representative Hamilton, Representative Krinke moves that on page 1, line 5 of the A-23 amendment, after the word using, insert 5%. Representative Hamilton, would you like to speak to the Krinke amendment to your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I guess the intention was that's what the feasibility was for. The feasibility study was for.
Okay, Representative Hamilton, are you supportive of the amendment? Is that what you're saying?
I'd like to once again go back to the intention. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to leave it as it was.
Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would encourage members to support the amendment the way it was originally crafted, and I think what Representative Hamilton is trying to do here is not predetermine the outcome of the study, but what he's saying is take a look at the practicality of using it at all. Is it 1%, 2%, 5%, or 100%? He does not want to predetermine the outcome, otherwise there wouldn't be any sense of studying the feasibility. And so I think what he's saying is wants to study what is possible, not just limited to 1%. So I would encourage us to support the Hamilton Amendment in its original form.
All right. Other discussion, Representative Klinzing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hamilton, if it shows that biodiesel is feasible, does that commit the North Star project to going with biodiesel? And if so, do you know if trains running on the biodiesel are more expensive?
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Klinzing. Once again, that's what the feasibility study is for. Myself being a rural legislator, we would definitely like to promote the use of biodiesel. But again, it comes back to answering many of these questions in the feasibility study.
Representative Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's no secret that the new standards, part of why it's enjoyed such new support, has been the very stringent review standards by the FDA, et cetera, that were not present a couple of years ago. And so if it makes economic sense, I think it would be wise for the train to use it. It may be that the extra costs, if there are any, would
put this into the non-feasible category, which would be a bad thing. And to speak against the amendment for now, I think maybe 2% might make sense, 5% might not. And I think you want to have an open study about that. But the beauty of this particular bill, just to remind you about the whole project, is that this is for final design, so we'll know the answers to all the questions we've been asking for all this time. What's it going to cost? What's the operations? Can we get the tracks? What's the upgrades going to be? All those questions before the balance of money is released. So I think this is a good amendment the way it was drafted. I respect Representative Kinkey's intention here, trying to even make it a better bill. And I think that he might be happy with the thoroughness of the study groups that they'll look at 1, 2, 5, and any other numbers that come around. So I think for now, let's just keep it the way it was and vote no on the Kinkey part.
Chair? Excuse me. Representative Dorman, did you get your hand up?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to reassure, or not reassure, but just provide the information to Representative Klinding and others. This does not create a mandate. It just is asking, requiring a study. Does not, even if they come back and say it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, which of course I think it will, but it does not create a mandate that they then use it.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe there is a federal mandate in 06 that requires the federal government to have sulfur out of all diesel fuel, and they have to put something in diesel fuel to make it lubricate the engine so it won't wear out in a very quick way. So in our case, we mandated a 2% blend for this year, and I think a 5% blend is a federal law. So it's already mandated by the feds.
Other discussion. Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think it's a good amendment by Representative Hamilton and Representative Krinke, when we can use fuels where possible that are made here in Minnesota. I think that we help out the state regardless of whether you live in the metro area or not. But it is a very good amendment, but Representative Hamilton, you could possibly make it better by accepting as a friendly amendment on line 7 after locomotives, delete the period and add that are made of steel for Minnesota's Iron Range when feasible. Since you're helping out your agricultural area, can I help out my mining area?
With flags made in America.
Representative Gunther.
Well, Mr. Chair, I asked if that would be accepted as a friendly amendment by the freshman on the committee.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if you were making it as an amendment, or I didn't think you were. Representative Hamilton, would you like to incorporate that into your amendment? Well, actually, I take that back. Then, Representative Rukavina, actually, as I'm looking at this, we technically have the A23 amendment in front of us, and then we have the Krinke amendment to that amendment. I think what we need to do is dispose of the issue before us, the Krinke amendment to the amendment, and then we can get to your question.
Well,
how's that?
Mr. Chair, I'll tell you what, then. I'll go against Krinke if...
Okay, members, let's stick to the Krinke amendment to the amendment. Any other discussion? Representative Klinzing, and then Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Given that we're going to have a mandate for 5%, it seems that it would be prudent for us to study the feasibility of the 5% now, since it's going to be mandated pretty soon. So I would support the Krinke amendment.
Representative Smith.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Of the author of the amendment to the amendment, Representative Krinke, assuming your amendment is passed, from the language that I'm looking at, how will you as a legislator or anyone else here in the legislature know what that examination has produced?
Representative Krinke.
I assume, Mr. Chairman and Representative Smith, that there would be a report from the North Star commuter rail project. Maybe the question better goes to Representative Hamilton about who's actually going to be doing the study and if we receive a report. Again, members, I would just...
Mr. Chairman, I will ask him that if your amendment fails, I'm going to ask Representative Hamilton that same question.
Okay. Other discussion to the Krinke amendment to the amendment? Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the Krinke amendment to the A23 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Now we have the A23 amendment. Representative
Mr. Chair,
Rukavina.
In hoping that this amendment stays clean, I would just hope that Representative Hamilton supports me later on this evening.
All right. Okay. Other discussion of the 823 amendment. Representative Smith.
Representative Hamilton, thank you, Mr. Chair. If your amendment passes, I do not see any language that requires any report be made back to the legislature. How are we going to find out what their examination finds?
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Smith, like I said earlier, I'm working with the North Star Corridor Development Authority. And through them, through those individuals, that's where the study will be coming from. I've asked for the request to come back to us once that's done, obviously. And so, again, it's going to be done through the NCDA.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow that up, so we usually put language in that if we want it reported back to the legislature, we generally specify what committees and that kind of thing. So if the amendment goes on, I would hope that perhaps he looks at where that is deposited, so it's not just a report that ends up on somebody's shelf.
Perhaps, Representative Carlson, if the amendment goes on and goes forward, we can address that then at a later date.
Yeah, that's my point, Mr. Chairman, that if the author is successful, he really should give some thought to having the report come back to, I assume, perhaps, who does deal with that? Agriculture Committee would probably be one.
Either Agriculture or Transportation, perhaps.
Yeah, one of those two, at least.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Representative Carlson. Representative Abler.
Well, Mr. Chair, just to put this matter to rest, that there's going to be a product that I think will be well dissected by this legislature, known as the Final Design Documents, and I would expect it will be scrutinized with extreme thoroughness. And as part of the Final Design, which is referenced here, that will include the study on this. So I expect it to be part of the booklet. As Representative Krinke mentioned, that this would all be part of the document anyway. It would be well available to anybody who wants to see it, as well as this very committee, a couple of years from now.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A23 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The A23 amendment is adopted. Okay, members, next I think I'll take up the amendment that should have just been distributed to you, which is the HF3-45 amendment. And Representative Dorman moves the HP3-45 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. What the HF3-45 amendment does is it gives us a placeholder for the RFA loans to make sure that we do get them done. Correctly noticing they weren't in the Senate bill, I think it's important that we do have that placeholder in there. So what it does is slightly reduces the amount in the rural bioscience by $100,000 and moves it over to the RFA loans, just because flexibility and conference committee in case we decide to want to do them there. So I hope members can hang with me on this one.
And members, I'd encourage you to support this amendment. I guess as we look at the bill, we're trying to get the bonding bill done in an expeditious manner. We want, I think, the flexibility to deal with this in bonding instead of in the Agriculture Committee in case there'd be sort of any sort of delays in the regular omnibus bills at the end of session. So with that, Representative Klinzing and then Solberg. Representative Klinzing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dorman, earlier it was stated that there isn't a definition of rural in statute. Is it different for this part of this amendment because it's a rural finance authority, but then rural finance authority isn't capitalized in line six?
Representative Klinzing, Representative Dorman, do you want to handle that?
Sure. The RFA authority is set aside in state statute. I guess what I should have correctly said is it was coming from the Greater Minnesota Bioscience and not the Rural Bioscience. So we already made the correction to Greater Minnesota earlier, and so that doesn't change. The RFA has always been the RFA.
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, with your last statement, are you anticipating a meltdown at the end of the session? Is that what you're saying?
Not at all, Representative Solberg. Actually, we've traditionally dealt with this particular appropriation in the bonding committee, and I felt that it to have a placeholder in the bonding committee instead of in the Agriculture Committee.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go back and review the tape to see what you said.
Any other discussion to the 45 amendment? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the HF3-45 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Okay, next members, I'm going to go back to Representative Dorman and the A40 amendment. Representative Dorman moves the A40 amendment. Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A40 amendment makes a couple changes to the bill that I think, again, a little bit prejudiced, but I think it makes the bill much better. I'll talk about the additions first, and then I'll talk about the subtractions because it is a balanced amendment. But folks have came to me and talked about the need for additional transportation options, including the Rush Line Busway and the Red Rock Quarter Transitway. This amendment would put $500,000 into each of those projects as we move forward, giving the House a position on both of them. In addition, there would be a $2 million appropriation made to the Colin Powell Center. There's an appropriation made a similar size in the Senate bill, and the governor has a position somewhat stronger than that, and I thought it was prudent that we also recognize that in our bill. What we do to pay for those additions and to keep the bill in balance is, in consultation with others, we take $1.5 million from the recommendation we have for the Minnesota Zoo, and it still gets us down to the design that they came, I believe, before the bonding committee either 2 or 3 years ago. So we're still above the Senate there, but not quite as strong as the governor. It also removes a $500,000 from the local road improvement account and does take $1 million from the rail service improvement account, which I thought, since we moved those other projects out of there, in speaking with the chair and others, seemed like a prudent place to take that from. I know some people said, gee, why are you giving up $500,000 from stuff that might be used in Greater Minnesota? I just think that we in Greater Minnesota have an interest in making sure that there's less congestion in the metropolitan area as well. And so I think it remains a very balanced bill after carefully examining this, after hopefully this amendment is well received. With that, Mr. Chair, to answer any questions on this particular amendment.
Representative Vandeveer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's nice to see that the Rush Line Busway is half funded in there, not what was in the bill last year, but it beats a sharp stick in the eye. So that part of the amendment is good. The only concern I have is taking the money out of the road account, local roads, so I would move a small verbal amendment.
All right. Representative Vandeveer, what's your oral amendment?
The oral amendment, I believe, would be on the amendment, delete lines 7 and 8 and insert page 24, line 16. Delete 500 or 5 million and insert 4,500,000, and that takes the money out of the bioscience development.
Okay. Representative Vandeveer, if I can just make a suggestion, it should actually be 4,400,000 now because we just took $100,000 from that account for the Rural Finance Authority. But Representative Vandeveer, then, let's see. Ms. Novak, can you state the Vandeveer oral amendment?
Mr. Chair, on the A40 amendment, page 1, delete lines 7 and 8, and insert page 24, line 16, delete 5 million, and insert, actually, and insert. $4,500,000. Mr. Chair.
Technically, we need to work off the document we have in front of us. Is that correct?
Correct, Mr. Chair. The adjustments will be made at the end to all of the totals. Mr. Chairman, I believe we also have to be consistent on page 24, line 7. We have to delete $20 million and insert $19,500,000.
Okay. All right, Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to finally incorporate in my amendment if that's okay by you.
It's okay by me, Representative Dorman. The Vandeveer Amendment is incorporated. Yes, Ms. Novak.
Chairman, I believe we also have to delete lines 5 and 6 from the A40 amendment. That's affecting the total.
Okay, Representative Dorman, you'll incorporate that as well.
I will, Mr. Yeah. Chair.
Representative Dorman incorporates that as well into the A40 amendment.
9 and 10.
And 9 and 10 also. Representative Dorman incorporates the deletion of page 1, lines 9 and 10. Representative Paymar to the A40 amendment with the oral correction.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm just a question here on the process. I mean, you're the second time now we've taken money out of the bioscience development. And, I mean, shouldn't the committee be voting on it rather than just incorporating it into the amendment?
Well, actually,
vote on the amendment.
Well, Representative,
there's an amendment to the amendment.
Well, yes, but Representative Paymar, in this case, it is Representative Dorman's amendment, and so he's offering the amendment, and I think he has the ability to incorporate and make that change in the amendment that he's offering. Now, if you don't like the amendment that he is offering, you certainly have the ability to vote against it or to offer an amendment to, say, restore the original amendment to the way it was. Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, I was just for clarification from Representative Vanderveer. Where did you, I know you got $500,000 from Bioscience, but did you specify, and I didn't hear it, where you were getting it from?
Representative Vanderveer.
I'm sorry, what was your question? Representative Rukavina.
Representative Rukavina, I think the effect of the oral amendment is that instead of taking $500,000 from the roads account to help fund the A40 amendment, we're taking $500,000 out of the rural bioscience account.
Mr. Chair, Minnesota, fine point, Mr. Chair, but Greater Minnesota.
Chair.
Greater Minnesota, I'm sorry. Yeah, now I'm doing it. Representative Rukavina.
Chair, and I understand that, but what I'm saying is you have now $19,500 that's split between rural Minnesota, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Rochester, and in what way is it split? Proportionately?
Well, no, Representative Rukavina, the greater Minnesota account of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Rochester all are still at $5 million. The greater Minnesota account would be $500,000 less underneath the incorporation Representative Dorman has made to his amendment.
So let me get this straight then. So in the areas of the state that are growing the fastest, have the most economic development, nothing happens to their bioscience, but in rural Minnesota where we need the job growth and the economic development, we get hammered.
Well, Representative Rukavina, or you can lose the road money in rural Minnesota.
Well, that was bad enough, but roads are one thing. We're accustomed to driving on gravel roads. As a matter of fact, there's no center line on gravel roads, so that's a good thing. But anyway, but the fact of the matter is that when it comes to economic development, which this is, it's a whole different story than rural roads. And so I would hope that Representative Dorman and being the chief author would correct this, because I would say that rural Minnesota, if we are going to go down this bioscience development route, should be the ones where it isn't cut, and the other three communities that have development, and I see cranes, I mean, not, and I'm not talking about those white kind that fly, but all over the horizons and all of these communities, there's cranes building buildings, and in our area, if anything, they're tearing, they're knocking them down with wrecking balls. So, Representative Dorman, please help me out on this one, sir.
Representative Dorman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, I am trying to help you out. We have $4.4 million in a Greater Minnesota Bioscience Fund, which is $4.4 million more than in the governor's proposal or in the Senate proposal, so we're still winning the battle.
Representative Cipher.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I want to help Representative Vanderveer and Meslow and Nelson
with the rush line, but I'm kind of wondering along Representative Rukavina's line why, if we're helping an area like Forest Lake and Chisago County and the Metro, why is the rural area taking it in the shorts on either the road accounts or the bioscience if we're funding a Metro project? Shouldn't it really kind of come out of kind or split it out of all four accounts to kind of at least be a little bit equal rather than taking it all out of the rural bioscience? Why wouldn't we kind of split it $100,000 out of each or $125,000 out of each one or something?
Representative Dorman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Seifert, as I stated earlier, I think that it's a just a sign of, and I don't think there's any question that I occasionally indicate that the rural part of the state may be getting the short end of the stick. I don't think I can be accused of not doing that. In this case, it's my suggestion, and I think that it's our coming to the table saying we understand your needs, your transportation needs, and we want to help. And so I think it's a very good compromise. At the end of the day, I think the bill is still in balance, and I think it's a good addition to the bill and not a subtraction for any part of the state.
Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, there may be some further discussion on this issue. I just wanted to be sure. I had heard that the amendment should have been $4.4 million, then I heard $4.5 million. It is $4.4 million. Is that correct?
Well, I guess technically, Representative Bradley, it's $4.5 million because it's $500,000 less than the House File 3 you have in front of you. But in fact, we've already taken $100,000 out. So if you have this amendment adopted, you would have a total of $4.4 million there. Okay. It's just that, I guess, and as we deal with the legislature and the way we record this, we have to record it as $500 off of $4.5 million. Representative Osmond.
Sir, Mr. Chair, are we open to amendments to the amendment? I don't know where we're at in the process here.
Yeah. Let's see. Yes, we are. The amendment has been incorporated by Representative Dorman. Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a motion that we amend the amendment by deleting lines 3 and 4, which would restore the state asset, the Minnesota Zoo, to its recommended amount that was in the bill, which is significantly below the governor's recommendation. And I'd like to insert page 13, line 30, delete $4,850,000 and insert $3,350,000. Make sure my math is correct. And the this would take the dollars from the non-metro regional parks, which is not even an identified organization currently in the state of Minnesota. The governor's recommendation had $3 million for it. This leaves a little bit more than the governor's recommendation. And I think would be a fairer way of trying to find the dollars to put into a transit system, taking those dollars out of a state agency that has that's 25 years old and has needs significant upgrading in order to be able to continue to be the tremendous asset for Minnesota that has been, I think, is very important. And I'm very willing to work with the regional park people to get that organization started. But I think $3 million will help do that, and I think it'd be a better place to take the dollars for this particular amendment. I move that amendment, Mr. Chair.
All right. To a discussion to the Osmond Amendment, which is to increase the funding in the zoo by $1.5 million back to $9 million and take the money from Greater Minnesota Regional Parks. Representative Solberg.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was going to have you call on me before, but I'm glad you're calling me now. Let's see.
As far as Representative Solberg, there's a lot of hands going up.
I was not going to react to the amendment to the amendment, but to the amendment to begin with, I can do both.
All right.
Let me look at the process now. We're taking money from Greater Minnesota Bioscience. We're taking money from $1 million on 9/11 from the railroad account, which we said we couldn't even designate, and I respect that. But that's all rural Minnesota. And with this amendment now, we're making sure that we're taking some more from rural Minnesota so we can fund the zoo in the metropolitan area. And I know my grandkids go there, too, and it's a nice and the governor likes it and that kind of stuff. To be able to fund transit in the metropolitan area. And
thing in Minneapolis. So I like all of those projects. For 10 years, I said I would bond like mad to put the mass transit in the metropolitan area. But I want to look at a little bit of balance here someplace on the line. So I guess I would hope that we would not adopt that amendment. At least there's some money coming from the metropolitan area for their own roads. And I understand the need for the zoo.
Willard Munger didn't want to.
All right, other discussion to the Osmond Amendment. And Representative Osmond, I guess Representative Dorman.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would speak against it. I understand members want to vote for it. I speak against it. As you and I spoke, I still think we have roughly the same commitment to the zoo as we do in the bill. It just depends on how you get to those numbers. I'm not sure what this does to the balance of the bill when you take it from the Greater Minnesota Parks account. I'd probably not be my first place to take it, but so I guess I would speak against it, but it's a committee process, Mr. Chair.
Well, Representative Osmond, I guess, as I've talked to Representative Dorman about this, I think the original appropriation for the zoo came from the idea that in 2002 we had $7,184,000 for the zoo for phase one of a zoo renovation project that the zoo at that time was supporting. And I think they had further phases of it, but this was the first phase we funded at that point. It was vetoed by Governor Ventura. As I've talked to Representative Dorman, the idea behind the bill is that while the zoo isn't supporting that particular project anymore, it was good enough for them 2 years ago, and it still seemed to be a good project to me, and that's why we've got the number in. We felt that $9 million was certainly more than the inflation number was needed to be to account for that, and so that $7.5 million would be a reasonable number. But I know this is an important project to you. I guess, members, I would speak against the Osmond Amendment as well, but having said that, I'd be glad to work with Representative Osmond further in terms of obtaining money for the zoo.
Mr. Chair, could you...
Representative Dorman.
Could you help me understand it? I want to make sure I understand my own amendment now. It's been... if this is... if we go down the Representative Osmond road, which is the amendment to the amendment, we would be putting $2 million into the Colin Powell Youth Center. $500,000 for each of the transportation projects, correct?
That is correct.
And we would be getting that money. We would take $500,000 out of the Greater Minnesota Bioscience.
Yes, we'd be getting $500,000 from the Greater Minnesota Bioscience Fund. We'd be taking $1.5 million from the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks, and we'd be taking $1 million from the Railroad Service Improvement Grants. Representative Dorman.
Mr. Chair, I would just be curious if Representative Osmond might be inclined to shift that zoo appropriation to the bioscience area. I'm more comfortable taking it out of there than I am the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks. And I know the rural guys are going to be upset, but I sure appreciate you getting with me on this one, if it's okay with Representative Osmond. I'm more comfortable with that, Representative Osmond, but...
Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair, I'd be amenable to that. Yes.
All right. Okay, just a second here.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Osmond.
I withdraw my amendment.
Representative Osmond withdraws his amendment. Okay. All right. We have...
Wait a minute. Mr.
Representative Dorman.
I have to... Representative Osmond, you withdrew your amendment, but I assume you still want me to then to amend my amendment.
That's correct.
All right. So, Mr. Chair, I would like to amend my amendment then to take the... who's on first, Mr. No.
Representative Dorman,
$1.5 million from the $5 million Greater Minnesota Bioscience. Even though it's $5 million, it'll now be
Okay, Representative Dorman, I think on page 24, line 7, you wish to decrease the $20 million by another $1.5 million. And on page 24, line 16, you wish to decrease the $5 million for Greater Minnesota by $1.5 billion.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, is there some way at least we can have a little bit of fairness, and instead of taking it all from rural Minnesota, at least have, I think there's three funds there, or four funds, Rochester, the metropolitan area of rural Minnesota. And I know $5 million is for Sears, and I wouldn't even touch that one. But at least there's three funds. I mean, instead of taking it all from rural Minnesota, couldn't we at least have a little bit of balance? I mean, I know there's not very many of us anymore, but...
Well, Representative Solberg, we're taking suggestions and have been for the last several minutes, it appears. Other discussion to
Chair, I
can
see an amendment, but we'll make sure all the amendments are in balance. I think that's very important.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Representative Solberg.
We'll be working to pass this amendment to try to look at other options.
Well, Mr. Chair.
The Representative Rookavina.
If I could, I would hope that the committee votes this down because it's extremely unfair to be taking money to help with congestion in the metropolitan area and help with a significant, whatever the Colin Powell Memorial or whatever it is, and then take all the money from rural Minnesota to pay for that. Because if I would bet, members, if I look through this bill in totality, that the breakdown metro-rural is out of whack to begin with. So I would hope we could defeat this amendment and go with the original intent of the Dorman Amendment, or I could probably amend this amendment to just do my last year amendment to spend the last $2.9 million for an atom bomb for the National Guard, and they can just drop it on rural Minnesota by the end of the session, maybe. So,
do we have to wait?
Okay, just a second. Members, members, let me just give you a
hand. 2 months we'll be eating each other when we're gone, so that's good.
Okay, members, just so we know where we are here, because this amendment has had a number of incorporations. Right now, I just want everyone to be clear where we are, and correct me if I, the chair, am wrong in this. Right now, as the amendment A40 stands, we are taking $1 million from the Rail Service Improvement Grant Program, and we're taking $2 million from the Bioscience Development in Greater Minnesota. We're taking that $3 million and giving $500,000 of it to the Rush Line, $500,000 of it to Red Rock, and $2 million to Colin Powell. Okay, just wanted to make sure that everyone knows what page we're on here. So with that, I've got Representative Krenke.
Mr. Chairman, I just request a roll call on the amendment.
Representative Krenke requests a roll call. Other discussion to the amendment. All right. Seeing no further, Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, and the chair of the Capital Investment Committee.
I'm working on it. I'm sorry. What was that? Representative Solberg?
Supports or opposes the amendment.
Representative Dorman. Representative Solberg is asking if you are supporting or opposing the current amendment.
I support my current amendment, Representative Solberg, but I'm busy trying to find other pots of money in case this one isn't successful.
Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, this is to Representative Dorman. You were trying to articulate, I think, some kind of overarching value here, and I just want to make sure I'm clear. When you talked about balance in the bill in regards to this issue, are you talking about overall balance in the bill? That as you factored your original amendment, what you were looking for was some kind of overall balance in the entire bill?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Borman.
Yes.
You know, Representative Borman, I'm wondering if I know that you are looking at some other ideas at this point, and I think there's still confusion on the A40 amendment. I wonder if you'd like to lay over the A40 amendment temporarily, and we can go to another amendment, and then if you have some suggested changes, you could bring them back.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I think I was working ahead on another couple of amendments. I see there's a couple other amendments that are coming up, and I'm working on some amendments to those amendments. I'm happy with this one. If you want to lay it over and work on it, that's fine, but I'm currently working on amendments to a couple of amendments that are coming up.
All right, just a suggestion, Representative Dorman. It is your amendment. Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chairman, I had one suggestion. I don't consider it necessarily a rural project, but, you know, the Colin Powell Center, and what I know about it, certainly, you know, we had talked about this being trying to keep youth out of jail and out of prison by giving them positive alternatives in life and so forth, and was impressed in what I heard about it. You know, we put the prison in at the full Monty amount, and I kind of wonder if we, instead of building prisons, why don't we try to keep people out of prison? I'm sounding like a Democrat here, aren't I? Or, you know,
and we're not buying it, Mark.
Perhaps we take $2 million out of that prison amount because the Senate's at a way lower amount anyway, and that's in at an extremely high number, and will get worked out in conference. But maybe we work on the front side of prevention on prisons instead of building them. We take a little bit out of there and fund the Corlin Powell Center to do something positive for our young people. So that's my suggestion, that maybe we just take a couple million out of that 80 to 90 for that prison, just take a little bit out for prevention. That's just my suggestion.
Mr. Chair, how many amendments do you have before you get?
For Representative Dorman, I have one other amendment that I know of.
I just do not lay this aside, and I would speak against that suggestion. I like it just the way it is, Mr. Chair.
All right, Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And regarding the balance that's in here, just looking at through the budget that came through the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, just taking the CREP program alone, we're talking about not only $23 million of state dollars that are going to be going to rural Minnesota, but we're also going to be adding in a significant amount of money from the federal level. If you go through every one of these, whether we're talking about the Lake Superior Zoo, or we're talking about the non-metro regional parks, or you're talking about the state park system, or the safe harbors, just rural Minnesota is just loaded in here with dollars. This is not an unbalanced approach to say let's support, you know, trying to get a state agency what it needs, and I believe that Representative Dorman has come up with a reasonable methodology on how to do that, and I think this is a reasonable amendment. We should support it.
Any other discussion to the A40 amendment? All right, members, I'm about to call the roll on the A40 amendment, and again, I will review the A40 amendment. The A40 amendment takes $2 million from Greater Minnesota Bioscience and $1 million from the Railroad Improvement Account. It gives $2 million to Colin Powell Center, $500,000 to the Rush Line, and $500,000 to Red Rock. Are there any questions about the amendment before we vote? All right. The clerk will take the roll on the A40 amendment.
Dempsey?
Yes.
Abler?
Yes.
Abrams?
Yes.
Anderson?
Pass.
Beard?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Biskins?
No.
Carlson?
Yes.
Clark?
Yes.
Norman?
Yes.
Dorn?
Yes.
Earhart?
Yes.
Greeley?
Yes.
Gunther?
Yes.
Hamilton?
No.
Guilty?
No.
Holbert?
No.
Huntley?
Yes.
Kelleher?
Yes.
Clinsing?
Yes.
Grinke?
No.
Larson?
Yes.
Mariani?
Yes.
McNamara?
Yes.
Narnas?
No.
Otramba?
No.
Osmond?
Yes.
Paymer?
Yes.
Rukavina?
No.
Ruth?
Yes.
Seifert?
No.
Smith?
Yes.
Solberg?
Yes.
Sikora?
Yes.
Vandeveer?
Yes.
Wagenius?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Knobloch?
No.
There being 26 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A27 amendment. Representative Rukavina moves the A27 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This amendment would fund a couple of projects in Representative Curtis's district that were in the bill. The bonding bill last year,
The Laurentian Energy Authority is to meet the 95, I believe, or 96 Fairy Island mandates for biomass, and the $500,000 for the Central Island Range Sanitary Sewer District is to connect a number of towns from Kinney to Hibbing in a system where their sanitary sewer system would be connected altogether. It also provides a $2 million appropriation for reforestation. There's the Department of Natural Resources is falling behind members on reforestation, and they've been harvesting about, I believe, about 35,000 acres a year and are only able to plant about a third of that. This would help them plant more in and help with biodiversity and help with a healthier forest in the future, and I'd appreciate your support, members. It adds this amount to the total amount of the bill, and that's provided for in the amendment. Appreciate your support.
Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I just have a couple observations to make. Number one, I guess I've encouraged members to vote no. I understand how tempting it is to turn the bill into a Christmas tree, and we really ought not to do that. We all have local projects we could hang on there. So I'm going to encourage members to vote no on this amendment. But the second thing that I have to say, Representative Rukavina, I'm surprised listening to your comments on the last amendment and, you know, saying it was so hard for rural Minnesota and it was bad for us, where I still think it's a pretty good bill. I didn't see any additions from metropolitan areas. I was just surprised that it wasn't balanced. But having said that, I would, you know, I could go through and pick out stuff to balance it and bring it within where we want to be. But members, I suggest we just vote no and move on.
Other discussion of the Rukavina amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'm just hurt. I thought he'd say this makes the bill better, and I'd appreciate your helping look at this.
That's not what he said, Representative.
I thought I heard that.
Cool. I guess I didn't hear it that way myself. Members, I guess I'd recommend a no vote as well. Any other discussion? All in favor of the Rukavina A27 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Members, are there any other amendments? Oh, Representative Clark has an amendment. Let's see if I can have a page come forward and distribute an amendment from Representative Clark. Representative Clark moves the A36 amendment, which is being passed out. And Representative Clark, while that amendment's being passed out, perhaps you could speak to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment kind of is a technical amendment. It clarifies that the proceeds that will be coming back to the Minneapolis Park Board, that the first at least $25,000 of it can go for pre-design and design of the East Phillips Culture and Community Center. And this is a part of the park system that right now, they've been sitting it for a few years. It needs to have some design done. We had testimony in Representative Gunther's committee. It's basically in a community that has, it's just down the other side of the neighborhood from Coleman Powell Center, and it serves a lot of the same function in terms of helping keep kids out of trouble. It's one of the only two parks in Minneapolis that has no park building for thousands of children who are located in South Minneapolis. So this actually just provides a technical opportunity for this board to make sure that the park board can use the money for that pre-design.
Hey, Representative Clark, did I hear you say that this is a technical amendment?
Mr. Chair, this function is a technical amendment because right now that money is coming back. This is no cost to the state. This is no additional money taken from anywhere. It's already coming back to the Minneapolis Park Board. It just makes it clear that it can be used for that purpose. And if we don't put it in there, technically it couldn't go there because I believe the line on line 18 makes it more limited. So it opens it up a bit so that it can be used for this purpose too.
Well, Representative Clark, I guess Whatever the merits of the amendment, I guess I don't know that I would describe it as a technical amendment. I mean, it takes money that is coming into one place and puts it into a new project. And I guess I, at least myself, I don't know that I'd describe it as a technical amendment. But members, discussion to the Clark Amendment. Representative Kelleher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, I think that Representative Clark brings before us something that does not change the bottom line of this bill at all. The Fujia sale brings in $1.7 million into this bill, split between the state and the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board. This is basically an earmark on the money that would go to the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board for pre-design of this building. Representative Clark has told me, and I know from my experience of being in the East Phillips neighborhood, that thousands of children live within a few blocks of this area. And this is a project that I think that if there were more room in this bill, we may have considered it. But there are constraints on the bill, and I think we've found a creative way to handle this issue. And so I hope that we can have members' support on the amendment today.
Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Representative Kelleher. There, in the testimony, there are literally thousands of kids with no place to go. And what we're doing is we're saying, okay, with no supervised recreation, there is going to be crime. So I think this is really prevention, and I think that we should consider it very strongly.
Representative Sikora.
I was just curious, Mr. Chair. This is for design. Is there some commitment on our part to build a building, or is that under some other plan?
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Sikora. This has been kind of in the works for a number of years in the city. It's actually been on the Park Board's agenda. They just haven't come forward with it this year, although it was one of the projects that they have been considering and talking about. And I did talk to the Park Board folks today, and they're fine with this.
So that Mr. Chair, it is their plan to build the building, or is it your plan to come back next time for bonding for the building? I'm just curious.
Oh, I see.
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sikora, I think it will be just like any other bonding proposal, hopefully in the future, that there will be a combination of state and local and philanthropic help to, you know, match to make it happen.
Representative Dorman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. If I understand what's happening here, and Representative Clark saying the Parks Board is okay with it, what we're really doing is it does have no impact to the state, but it does, we're telling the Parks Board what to do. And so if the Parks Board already likes it, I'm not sure why we need it. Because this doesn't impact our bottom line. What we're doing here is saying the money that we're saying is going back to the Minneapolis Parks Board. We know better than Minneapolis Parks Board on how to spend it. And I'm uncomfortable telling the Minneapolis Parks Board how to spend the money that we're sending back to them. But if they're okay with it, Representative Clark, I'd say you don't need it. So I'd like to keep it off the bill.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Chairman, Representative Dorman just made the point I was going to make. I appreciate Representative Kelleher's confidence in me, but I don't think I'm smarter than the people on the Park Board who live and work in the area to know what's best for the area. So I'm not real comfortable telling them what to do either.
Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, I thought I heard that the Colin Powell Center Youth Center, Leadership Center, was close in the same area or something. Aren't the purposes here the same thing? Or
Representative Clark.
Thank you. Thank you for that question, Representative Earhart. Actually, they're at totally opposite ends of the same neighborhood. This is a big neighborhood. And they do serve very complementary purposes, but they're quite far apart. And actually, the folks that live nearest to this neighborhood are mostly the children at Little Earth of United Tribes Housing. There's about 500 kids there, and within, I think, a six-block area, there's 3,000 more children. And down at Colin Powell, it's way down the other end of the same neighborhood, but it's quite a long ways, you know, as you go down the street. And this is a place where kids walk, and they go there now a lot, but there's no building. So in cold weather or, you know, inclement weather, there's no place for them to go. And, Mr. Chair, if I could just answer one thing to Representative Dorman. Because without this language, the previous language is too specific, and it does. That's why we need the language. That's why I call it technical, because it does need to have this language to make it clear that it can be used for this purpose. Otherwise, it's limited. If you look at the language on line 18, I think. Yeah, on line 918, it talks about the Falls Master Plan. It would be limited to that otherwise. So this makes it clear that it can go for also for the redesign.
Seeing no further discussion, we'll vote on the A36 amendment. All in favor of the A36 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Oh. The motion does not prevail.
Division.
Division. Division being called, all in favor, raise your hand.
Yeah.
All opposed, raise your hand.
Whoops. I thought I could get that two-handed deal. I'm easily about 45.
There being 21 ayes and 12 nays, the motion is adopted. The amendment is adopted. The chair, it's early in session.
Thank you.
The chair needs to have some practice on his hearing. All right. Are there any other amendments? Representative Greiling. could I have a page come forward?
Go home now.
Thank you.
This one goes on.
Can we get home so our children don't become delinquent?
Yeah.
I'd like to. I think my speech doesn't stay
on.
I didn't vote either way. He said he didn't care.
Yeah.
This is true.
The 25 grand.
Mr. Chair?
And members, we've got the A41 amendment being passed out. Representative Greiling moves the A41 amendment. While it's being passed out, Representative Greiling, could you discuss the amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm going to speak to page 1, lines 26 through page 2, line 6, and this is a bill that adds $2.4 million to the bill for Red Lake. Red Lake is a very poverty-stricken school district, and this would help them to design their middle school and high school facilities. And I'm not claiming this one as a technical amendment, Mr. Chair, and I would like to yield to Representative Rukavina for the remainder of the amendment.
Representative Rukavina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. On page 1, lines 3 through 14, is a proposal to add $10 million to... for Bridgman Hall and the Emerging Technology Addition at Bemidji State and Northwest Technical College. This was in last year's bill, members, and I think it was just an oversight that it was left out, so appreciate your support there. On lines 15 through 24, there is the acquisition for some, an acquisition for the old Bemidji school number 31, I believe it is, because of the expanding nature of the Bemidji State there. It would be a good time to get that, and that's $1,500,000. And then line 8 through 12, Mr. Chair, I believe on page 2, is for the acquisition and development of the portion of the Paul Bunyan Trail that goes to the city of Bemidji, which is a beautiful trail and was also in last year's bill, I believe. So we'd appreciate your support on this side of the table, Mr. Chair and members.
Representative Rukavina, just so I can be clear, as I'm adding this up, it seems to me that my addition tells me this adds $15.7 million to the cost of the bill.
That would be
is that correct?
Accurate, Mr. Chair. We're not taking it from anywhere. We're just adding it to the bill.
All right. Just wanted to be clear that this was just being added to the bill and not being taken from some other part of the bill like the previous amendments. Discussion to the A41 amendment. Representative Dorman.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Knobloch. And I think you're correct again. I think we've got another unbalanced amendment, which, you know, I would hope we can vote down on the fact that it's unbalanced. we talked a lot about whether we needed to put a cap on it or not, and I know many members on our side of the aisle felt that we needed one. I still don't think we do. I hopefully we can get this amendment voted down. You know, I've heard a lot about Bemidji or Big Bog or this or that. I'd remind members that there are some, and I would say last year's bonding bill was very much more political than this one. I think it's a very well-balanced bill. You know, Representative Simon, his project is in here, wasn't taken out for punitive reasons. I think they're fair. Well, the last time I checked, I don't believe Linda Bedreau is still in the body, and that facility didn't come out. And so I'm trying to be tolerant and patient and understanding of folks who feel that there was political action taken. And I would just hope members could take a look at some of the things that were in the bill. That are still in the bill, even though the seats changed hands. And so I understand it. I certainly hope that we do keep this up. It does bring the cap above where we should be. But, Mr. Chair, I guess I'm curious about your thoughts.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would oppose the A41 amendments. I think, Representative Dorman, that you've really reached out to both sides of the aisle to try to incorporate a balanced bill of projects from both sides. There are always projects that don't make it into a bill, and there are certainly projects that people can make reasonable arguments for. I know that at least some of these projects, if not all of them, are in the Senate bill, and so if we get this bill passed and the Senate bill passes, which I expect both will happen, we'll have a chance to go to conference committee and discuss them further. But members, I really don't think that when I look at the additional debt service we need to come up with already for this bill, that we should be coming up with further debt service that would then have to be taken from education or other areas to pay for the additional $15.7 million of spending in this bill. Representative Riccobina.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think Representative Dorman's done a great job, and he's got a great bill, but Representative Dorman, this would make it unbelievably fantastic. So.
Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A41 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments?
Third reading.
Discussion of the bill as amended. Representative Osment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to make one mention of a provision on page 36, section 43. It's just the total maximum daily load grants program. I really appreciate Representative Dorman working on this issue. I've had some questions when I first saw it. We've worked with him today and met with Mr. Flaherty also, who is very interested in this. And we have agreement that this is just one step that we need to take with regard to our clean water legacy activities in the state of Minnesota, and that this can fit with the bill that we'll be working on. And it does provide some grant dollars to help out with regard to wastewater treatment facilities, and I really appreciate all the cooperation, but people should understand this is only a small little piece of a much bigger issue.
Representative Kelleher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Dorman, I want to thank you tonight, and I think what you may not, because you have not been on capital investment before, I believe in my 7 years here, you have successfully made it through Ways and Means without losing a major part of your bill, and I want to congratulate you on that tonight. I also know there's some disappointment on our side of the aisle over a few projects. I want to take a moment to thank you personally from the perspective of Minneapolis in your work with us on this bill and your work to be fair and open and to really honor what we have said to you about priorities. And I think that that is no small feat in a legislature that's so closely divided. And we really appreciate the way that you have worked fairly with us. And I know that this bill, as it moves off of the House floor and comes back from conference committee, will be an even stronger bill, an even better bill. And know that some of those sore spots with members, maybe even on both sides of the aisle, could be remedied. in with a little more room. So I want to thank you tonight for that.
Representative Krenke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would request a roll call vote.
Roll call being requested. Other discussion of the bill? Representative Krenke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I don't normally give rationale for why I intend to vote either for or against the bill, but let me just first and foremost say that passage of this bill, members, will likely result in the loss of the AAA bond rating of the state of Minnesota, something that we've worked hard to achieve. This bill is $180 million in net GO bonding above the bill we passed last year. We are passing a bill before we have a budget resolution. That's the first time that I know of that occurring in 20 years, Mr. Chairman. The fastest growing area of the budget by percentage, even according to the November forecast, before we even pass or would attempt to pass this bill, is the debt service in the state of Minnesota. We have over $6 billion in outstanding debt. Members, to add this much money is adding to the future payments that our children and grandchildren will have to make over the next 15 to 20 years. Members, for those of you who are concerned about reductions in health care, increased funding for education, this bill will add $55 million to the dollars that we need to balance the budget in this biennium. So if you want to look at where you can get some money for education, money for health care, don't pass a bonding bill with $800 million in debt service. So with that, Mr. Chairman, as I said, just remember when you vote for this bill, you're voting to spend money into the future, money that I don't think we have to spend, and you're also voting to cancel Minnesota's AAA bond rating.
Representative Earhart.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Krenke, if you want to see some bonded indebtedness, where do we get the governor's transportation bill?
Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to get going home on my drive here, but I do have to say this, Representative Krenke, this bill is a year overdue, puts a lot of people to work in the state of Minnesota, saves a lot of infrastructure, and builds a lot of things for our future and our children. And Representative Krenke, if I recall correctly, and Representative Solberg could get the exact numbers, but I believe in the 98 bonding bill, we paid a lot of cash for projects, saving money, and you and others took that and changed it to bonds. So I would hope tonight that we could vote for this, or 99, yeah. I hope we could vote for this tonight. It's good for the state of Minnesota. It's a fantastic bill, and we have to take care of our future and the infrastructure we have and think about our kids in that respect, too.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too am proud to vote for this bill. I don't always vote for bonding bills in this body because sometimes I think they're porky and they have minor things in them, and I'm pretty proud of, actually, of this bill. I'm sorry that it didn't include the some of the things that we had our amendment for, but hopefully they'll get in later. But overall, I have never got a chance to vote for a bonding bill that had transit in it, that had, you know, this much forward-reaching things that are good for the common good, and I think it would be very penny wise and pound foolish not to vote for this bill. And Representative Krenke, I think there's other ways to balance the budget and maintain our triple A bonding rating and get back the Moody's one, the most important one that we lost through some of the lack of budgeting planning that that we had in the last session. So I hope you will join us in finding other ways to keep our bonding rating besides not voting for this very good, forward-reaching bill.
Other discussion? Seeing no further discussion, Representative Dorman renews his motion that House File 3, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register, and he directs the staff to correct the totals, adjust the debt service necessary, and amend the title. Clerk will take the roll.
Not Black.
Aye.
Dempsey.
Yes.
Abler.
Yes.
Abrams. Henderson.
Aye.
Beard.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Diskins.
No.
Carlson.
Aye.
Clark.
Yes.
Norman.
Yes.
Doyne.
Yes.
Earhart.
Yes.
Reiling.
Reiling says yes.
Sorry. Gunther.
Yes.
Hamilton.
Yes.
Hilty.
Yes.
Holbert.
No.
Huntley.
Yes.
Kelleher.
Yes.
Flinsing.
Yes.
Krinke.
No.
Larson.
Aye.
Mariani.
Aye.
McNamara.
Yes.
Norness.
Yes.
Otramba.
Yes.
Osmert.
Yes.
Paymer.
Yes.
Rukavina.
Yes.
Bruce.
Yes.
Seifert.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Solbert.
Yes.
Sikora.
Yes.
Vandeveer.
No.
Wagenius.
Yes.
Walker.
Yes.
There being 33 ayes and 4 nays, the bill is passed. The meeting is adjourned.